There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Y'all Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Monday, I guess, primary eve here in Alabama. Phone number, the same as it was last hour, same as it's been for 15-plus years, 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through on a phone call, and the text line as well. And a reminder, too, you can use that FM Talk 106.5 app to leave me a talkback message. If you got the app, which I hope you do, if you're an iPhone user, just go to the App Store, Google Play. For Android users, look for FM TALK 1065. You'll see our app, download it, stream the station, get our podcasts. First place they post is there, our social media feeds, traffic maps, weather information, show schedules, all that good stuff. You'll see on the bottom of the screen there a microphone icon. If you'll press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on air as well. And I mentioned also at the beginning of last hour, the nappy voting in nappy the first round. Rob, would we call this the primary? I mean, this is the nomination.
It is the nappy primaries are going on right now.
So nappy primaries, that voting is already going on. Everybody is left. Have there been any moves to keep me off the ballot?
None yet.
Okay.
None yet. And the Lanyap Supreme Court has ruled that you are on the ballot regardless.
Okay, good. I'm glad we have that clarity there. So I get to stay on the ballot over at votenappies.com, and we'll visit that here in just a little bit. Another one of the great things in the world of Lanyap that folks get, and it's Sunday, and I'm like, man, I'm not going to work. I always look forward to Sunday brunch, and so I'm reading through. Yeah, it's great work, and I'm reading through. And it's like your mind was on the same thing that I think so many of us were, and that's about first of all the announcement that Katie Britt, Senator Britt, would be doing the Republican rebuttal to Biden's, what I imagine will be a very short State of the Union address this week. I think it's going to be the
Before
shortest.
Nap time.
Yeah, it's going to be the shortest ever. I don't think it'll go on too long. But you wrote about this. First of all, let's talk about that. I mean, is that I'm thinking back over the years of the rebuttals. And of course, I think about it from Republicans doing rebuttals out there. It's been good for some. It's also been a highway to hell for others that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fraught with danger, but it is the rewards are good. If you do well, it does lift you immediately. It immediately lifts your stature. So, I think she will. I think she's very polished, and I have a feeling she'll do well.
Will she have a glass of water? Remember, was it Rubio or who had the water? Was sipping the water?
There's water involved. maybe she'll wear one of those hats with the hard hat with the beer on each side. I don't know. I think keeping hydrated is very important during the speech. It's a plum assignment for her. I mean, she's been in office a year, and that just says what. I mean. When I first met her, I thought this woman is going to win this race going away, and that was at the point where everybody said, oh, there's no way this is so-and-so's to win or lose or whatever. Right. And I just thought, nah, she's going to win this thing. And, there's just too many, and you look and, all the political, things that you want are all there for somebody, and she's got that in spades. So, I think that's it's going to be good for her overall. Just to me, it says what I thought from the beginning with her political career. She's got a, you know, she's just heading up. I think, you know, the Republican Party obviously recognizes that pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I wonder, and this may beg the question for the next part of this discussion, but is that possibly because she is cutting in line, right? You could say in front of, although they put younger faces often on this, but she's cutting in line in front of a lot of senators here to do this. Does that mean that that's what the Republican Party is rolling out as the brand, that it's female, it's younger, it's, you know, not the same old stodgy guys, that this, the reason they choose this as the flip side of Joe Biden, President Biden, is because of, you know, tangible things like age and sex?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any such thing really as cutting in line when it comes to this in D.C. I think everybody can kind of recognize when, you know, it's like when Fred Thompson showed up in D.C. and all of a sudden, you know, Fred Thompson's like, put him out there because
yeah, he
you know,
can
he's
talk.
Great.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, it's and that immediately happened. And I think it's the same kind of thing. People look around and a lot of these guys, at least at some point, they can look at each other and go, you know, maybe I'm not the most telegenic person to put out there. And maybe everybody's a little tired of hearing from, you know, who wants to hear from Lindsey Graham or whatever. it's just, you know, I think it is all those things. I think it is an attempt to bring in, you know, female voters and but also to show there's some youth in the Republican side, and there's, you know, something going on there that I think would be appealing to people.
Is it?
And it probably is a good juxtaposition for both Biden and for Kamala Harris as well. So I think, you know, I think she plays well against both of those.
Now, with that being said, is this also an audition for the VP? Because that's been the discussion, you addressed it over the weekend. Is this, you know, is this, I mean, I could argue that, you know, the old idea would be like, oh, you got to find a VP from a purple state that brings in the votes.
Yeah.
I mean, Alabama, like, he doesn't need the Alabama votes. He's got that.
Right.
So, but
right.
Is this an audition for VP? And if so, if she gets a nod, should she take it?
You know, I don't know if it's an audition or not. I mean, that's the word on, you know, there's political people who say, oh yeah, she's being considered. She's somebody that they're looking for. I think there's a couple of things there. I mean, number one, she's only been in office for a year. That is, let's just say from that standpoint, she's pretty new. But as I've written before and I wrote again Sunday, I don't think it's in her best interest to take that job. If it is offered, I would say, hey, my kids are too young. I need to be around to spend more time with the kids at this point. It's too big a job for me to do that. And I need to be home as much as I can be, even as a U.S. Senator. Because I personally think she's got nothing to gain from that except, she's got nothing to gain from it. I think the highway is littered with people who've worked for Donald Trump and who he's turned on. I think you probably can't find more than one or two people he hasn't turned on at some point. And I know that may upset some people who are listening to this, but that's just fact. And you can go and look and see how his old VP feels about him, or how what happened to Jeff Sessions or what happened to Bill Barr.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know there's probably people, oh, they're traitors, whatever. But I mean, that's, I just think it's when you look at it and say, you know, his past prologue, it probably is. So I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, well, if you would think you could thread that needle, right? If you're Katie Britt and you think you could thread that needle, at the end of 4 years, you're in a great position if you have higher ambition to obviously be president of the United States.
If you can sit down and look at the litany of people who thought they could thread that needle and who have not been able to, and say, I can do it better than they can, and it's going to happen. And if you can convince yourself of that, don't come crying when, you know, 3 years down the road, it's not good.
Well, it's oddly enough, I'll play devil's advocate for a second, but I do agree with you. And I was making that same argument to Jeff at the end of his show. It's not like she's in the latter years, right? She is. She's got so much headroom, so much time I think this opportunity, whatever it be, if it really is going to would come again. I think She's got more time. It's not like you better take this shot. I mean, you could even argue Pence, age-wise, you know, not that old, but I mean, he was in position, better take that shot because when will this happen again? You right. could argue that Senator Britt gets another shot at something at this level.
Yeah, I think that if she wants that shot later on, I think she'll have that opportunity. You know, she may want to be a governor. She may want to do those things. I think there's lots of opportunity for her as time goes on. Just when you look at what has happened in the past and look at the people who've been there in Trump's cabinet with him, you know, love him or not, whatever, you know, whatever your feelings are about him, you can't deny that at the end of the day, most of the people who've worked with him, they're not on good terms anymore. And it has been very detrimental to their careers. You know, I think you can just look around to a lot of these folks. She's got nothing but upside going on right mm-hmm. now. There's, you know, there's no scandal. There's no problem. There's none of that stuff. And I think it would be way smarter to stay there and get some more experience and keep on chugging up the line and do that. To me, it would be. I just think from a political standpoint, there's just nothing really likely that she's going to gain from it.
You know, and thinking about just being a senator, you know, it's pretty rarefied air being a senator. Right. And some things that Tuberville said and or not answered, I don't know if he stays long term. You know, so many words, it's not like he says it every time, but it sounds like he's not going to stay there forever. I don't know if that's just political rhetoric yeah. or what. I mean, it wouldn't be long. And the difference between being the senior and junior senator from Alabama is only a couple years, but she could quickly be the senior senator from Alabama and could be there probably for a long time. And that's a lot of power. Look at Richard Shelby. Look at Jeff Sessions back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, I think that she'll surpass Tuberville in just inside the Capitol in short order. I mean, I don't think that's going to be something that is going to be difficult for her to do. I think she'll end up getting the plum assignments. She'll be where, you know, they're going to want her to be a face of the party, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do believe there'll be opportunities for her. She's early 40s, I think, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of time out there. I mean, if you're a U.S. senator, that means you've got 50 or 60 years.
Yeah, at least 60, yeah.
Yeah, maybe 60 or 70. I don't know. But, you know.
Bring it back home to where we're sitting. I'm sitting right now in AL2. You wrote the District 2 race for Congress took an odd turn when Napoleon Bracey found himself left out of a forum on Thursday night. Yeah, he was in the audience, not on the stage. What happened?
You know, there's a lot of back and forth about what happened. He apparently was not happy with some of the people involved working for other campaigns at first, and I think there was a little bit of friction there, and then he claims he turned in his RSVP a week early, but they still didn't put him on the show. But he ended up getting there, and there's an empty chair sitting on stage, and he's sitting out in the audience. So I don't know. You know, it sounds like a lot of back and forth, but you know that race is going to be really interesting. I think it is going to be a real fist fight when it comes down to the general election. And, you know, they've got some stuff going on today where Joe Reed is claiming that Jamari Speakers is getting all this money from a supposed Republican group that we can't even find where they've ever given to a Republican.
But, yeah, by the way, so and y'all, Rob and I didn't talk about this beforehand, but this was the segment before you came on. And I told folks reading that story, and I'm not saying that I couldn't be making a mistake here, but because I'm just Googling, you know, and Joe Reed could Google too, but maybe he doesn't. That he names, he said, according to the reports, Protect Progress, a conservative group, has donated $1.7 million to Shamari Figures alone. And then he said, and then talks about Anthony Daniels as well. So I looked and went to Open Secrets, and then you made sure that lined up with the Protect Progress PAC. So I went to their website. That has progress in the name, first of all, but you could say, Sean, it's three-dimensional chess. They're trying to trick you by saying progress, and they're really conservative. But the first few words in their like mission statement said, Protect Progress supports Democratic candidates.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, and I think when he talked to one of our reporters, we talked to Kyle Hamrick, or Joe Reed did earlier today, he said that the source for his information on all this was Alabama Political Reporter.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, you know, I mean, I guess somebody probably gave those guys $50 and they wrote that. I don't know, but it's...
But he didn't decide he should check it himself?
But, you know, that's not... That's what he told Kyle, you know, that that was his source for it. So, I mean, I don't think... I mean, when I read that thing yesterday, so, you know, I saw it yesterday, and I thought, this doesn't really... It didn't seem real to me to begin with. I looked at it and thought, that's crazy. I don't think when you think of the figures, you don't necessarily think of a Republican operative.
No.
They're a pretty Democratic family.
So, yeah. So, and this could be, I mean, this could be, I don't know, people have said it before, but this could be the swan song for Joe Reed. If he, you know, backs the wrong candidate in this one, maybe time moves on from him.
Well, it comes off really to me. I mean, it comes off as putting his thumb, trying to put his thumb on the scale
sure.
the day before, and you know that, and to just kind of you know, cloud the air a little bit right before the election. I'm sure it comes off that way to a lot of people, and it doesn't. It's not really panning out in terms of what he said is happening. When we looked at it, they, as you said, it says they donate to Democratic candidates, and we haven't found anywhere where they're donating to Republicans. So it doesn't appear that they're, that's correct. That just looks like something that was put out there without very much vetting or actual research of any sort. So
yeah, why do any of that? That's
yeah,
no fun.
You know, so I would say he looks kind of dumb at the end of the day when if it's not what he says it is, it doesn't look good for him, and it looks like he's trying to do something to push the election in a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, it's not helpful to him. I don't think it doesn't help his stature in the state. But he's hung around for a long, long time. So you know, I'm not gonna say that this could be the end of Joe Reed. He's been around for a long time.
Absolutely. All right, Rob. These stories and a whole lot more over at Lanyap. Also, if they want to get it as it's updated daily, like stories we're talking about, get that subscription. Go online. Talk about that. How do folks do it?
Well, the easiest way to do is go to that worldwide web and go to lanyapmobile.com, and you can sign up. It is $1 for the first month, and it's just $1.50 a week after that. So it's $6.50 for a month after that, and you get breaking news all day long, every day. So there's lots of stuff being covered, and keeps you up to date, helps us keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, man, and y'all doing a great job of it. And a reminder too, yeah, the Nappies primary in effect right now, right?
Yeah.
How do they vote?
VoteNappies.com. VoteNappies.com. Go there. This is the part where you nominate people for the things you want to see. You know, you go in there and you write their names down. Try to spell them correctly. That will help. But really get in there and do it. And that's where we go, and then we'll get the top ones. We'll become the nominees in May, and then we'll have the voting for that starts.
Always good, Rob. I appreciate it, man. We'll be talking soon.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
There he goes. Rob Holberg checking in from Lanyap, and we're coming right back to your calls and texts at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 136 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this primary eve. Glad to have you along with us. Also, as results come out throughout the day and night tomorrow, we'll have those up on our Facebook page and the Twitter feed as well. And those folks that always enjoy some back and forth on Twitter during elections or even later in the week, State of the Union address, we'll be doing that at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's my buddy Trey, who is, I think, see, if we're 15... With the state, he's six, going in 16th year, getting rid of junk in Mobile and Baldwin County and doing a great job of it. I used him personally. So many people here at the station, I say so many, one, two, three, three of three. So four of us total here have used 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Also used him. Well, I told you the just amazing job they did on the storage unit for the station. It was a great thing. Freed up some money. That's another thing. If you have like a storage unit and the thing keeping you from shutting down the storage unit is that you just don't have time to get around to it or don't want to go do the big clean out there. They do that with great routine. They also work in homes, getting junk out of homes. Like I've pointed out in the past, these garage things that are attached to houses are really cool for putting cars in. I know it seems crazy, but if you get the junk out of there, the car has a home inside. It's pretty cool. So, listen, there could be big stuff outside. The number of, you know, above-ground pools and trampolines and storage buildings and backyards they remove, it's a lot every week. So if you got junk, you want stuff gone, you need the people to do it, use my friend Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And you can make that appointment pretty darn simply, and it's a real good old-fashioned appointment. Go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or just pick up the phone. The name is the number. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and they'll find the day you want to do it, the time of day you want to do it. They set the appointment. You're there, they're there. You just go, okay, I want all these things. You pointed the stuff you want gone, and they'll quote you a price right there on the spot. You say yes, they get to work and get it done then. So get that junk out of your life. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or like I said, the name is the number. This amendment one, this is good. And Jason, I appreciate it. I probably would have done this tomorrow, but I appreciate you asking the question about trying to clarify. And I'm trying to clarify Amendment 1. I do want to harken back to the fact that, remember, they told us, what, a decade ago, they're going to make these amendments more in regular people speak. I mean, how many times you see amendments, it looks like if you vote yes, it means no. And if you vote no, it means yes. So this is Amendment number 1 that's going to be on your ballot tomorrow, is to deal with, in a way, budget isolation resolution, local ballot amendments. So it's once again, the language here said proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alabama of 2022 to amend Section 71-01, which is one of everybody's favorites, authorizing the legislature to sign and transmit local laws or constitutional amendments before the transmission of basic appropriations. Basic appropriations, that's the budget. So what does it all mean? Okay, and this is my best, you know, my best work on this over the weekend, sitting down with it too. If this amendment, if you pass the amendment, would say that a local bill can come up at any point during the session versus having to go through the procedural hoop of a BIR. And here's what they said over at 1819. This is pretty good. 1819 did a good job. ABC 3340 was okay. They had Sonny Brassfeld, who's been on with us before, talking about it. He kind of maybe even complicates it more. But it says Amendment 1 here in the story from 1819. Amendment 1, the only statewide amendment on March 5th, would remove the legislature's possessive requirement to pass a budget isolation resolution, BIR, by a 60% majority on local measures when the state's two budgets have not already passed. Remember, because it says here, those of us that are always going, hey, why don't y'all do the budget first and then the rest of this, hey, let's ban squatted trucks. Why don't y'all do that later? Why don't we get the things that are the primary importance done first? Well, they are compelled to do that, but they can use BIR as to move past that, to keep pushing the budget down the road. So this would say if you have these local items, they don't have to jump through that hoop. Okay. If you vote yes, and it said, this is a good write-up at 1819. It said, vote yes if you believe the legislature should be able to address local bills by the routine simple majority, 50% plus one vote, before the budgets are passed. So if you vote yes, you said they should be able to take up something that deals with Mobile County or Jefferson County or whatever, that they should be able to take those bills up. And those things are kind of fraught, too, because our antiquated system here has people in Montgomery, somebody from Marshall County, trying to decide on something that applies to Mobile County, right? It's a discussion of home rule and things that we've talked about over the time on the show, but it's the way it is in Alabama. Said, but once again, if you vote yes on Amendment 1, if you fill in the old Scantron there, yes, that means you want you think the legislature should be able to address local bills by the routine simple majority, 50% plus one vote, before the budgets are passed. So they wouldn't have to run the hurdle of the BIR. You vote no if you believe the legislature should handle the two budgets before passing any local bills. Says Amendment 1 allows the legislature to pass local bills at any time with only a simple majority, 50% plus one, with no BIR required, no 60% required. This is from Ballotpedia.org, says The Alabama exempt local bills from budget isolation resolution amendment is on the ballot. A yes vote supports exempting local laws or local constitutional amendments from the budget isolation resolution process, which requires that the legislature must pass education and general fund budgets prior to enacting any other legislation, unless the legislation receives a 60% majority from the legislature. A no vote opposes exempting local laws or local constitutional amendments from the budget isolation resolution process. Now, I can look at my default on this because I get so frustrated every session. I mean, I understand why it is this way. It doesn't mean I have to. So the pragmatic me understands it. Idealistic me doesn't like it. I think the legislature should pass the budget, the general fund, and the ETF. They should do that before they do anything else. And I'm sure I have, it's Monday. So maybe some of our listening are going to blow up my phone and tell me why I'm naive on this. And hey, I invite y'all on the show to talk about it. But I would like the budgets to be done first before I hear about the squatted truck law or the no wakeboarding by docks law, or we're going to ban Sharia law or whatever you want to, whatever's next. Now, I'm sure there's somebody who says, well, Sean, because we'll be in a fight over the budget and there'll be no pressure at the end of session. We'll never get it done and the other stuff won't get done. Okay, come on and make your argument there. I'm open ears. So that would lead me to say no, right? I believe the legislature should handle the two budgets before they pass any local bills. But almost sound like soggy sweat here in the whiskey speech. But yes would mean that you could get these local measures done without being left with no time, without time running out. Right. So if you voted yes, the legislature would be able to address local bills by the routine simple majority, 50% plus one vote before the budgets are passed. Because you can argue that, OK, Sean, if you force them, if you vote like you want to do, you want to vote no, then all these local things that are very important to people locally are going to be pushed to the end of session and they won't get voted on. They won't happen. But that's the boil down here. It's somewhat arcane and inside baseball here, but it's about the BIR. You hear us talk about a good bit, budget isolation resolution, that lets them not do what they're supposed to do by tackling the budget first. But in doing that, if you vote yes on this amendment, you think the legislature should be able to address the local bills 50% plus one. In other words, even though they would precede the budget, they wouldn't have to deal with the BIR, which is a 60%, to work on them. If you vote no, you think the legislature should have to handle the general fund and the education trust fund budget before they look at any of these local bills. And of course, it begs a bigger question about why these local bills go through Montgomery, but that's not what is on the amendment for tomorrow's ballot. So there you go. Speaking of the ballot, you can always do your research online. Go to fmtalk1065.com. Click the election 2024 tab. Look at your ballot beforehand. You got any questions? Better than to ask those questions now or tonight or early tomorrow morning before you show up at your polling place, which, by the way, we'll do what we do every election. Love to hear from you as you go to vote. What's the turnout look like where you go? And I think y'all are the best gauges of that. Because most of us voted the same time every day, right? Every election, usually. You're a morning before work voter, you're a lunch voter, you're after work voter. Get an idea of what it was last time you were there and tell me what it looks like this year when you're out there tomorrow. And that's the way we do our kind of just regular every person gauge on what turnout is going to be. I don't think turnout is going to be big tomorrow. I hope I'm wrong. So. But there's that. All right, we'll grab some news here and we'll come back. More of Midday Mobile. Got a lot of text to try to get to here in this last segment at 343-0106, and we'll succeed with that.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
In addition to all the other things going on, with the primary coming up tomorrow, one of the hardest hitting stories I saw out there is looks like y'all from WKRG, from Whitney Leibold, that our plan is working here. Our plan is working. It says crawfish prices, and let me say this too. I want our local seafood sellers to make money. I do. So I'm not wanting to hurt them, but at the same time, we have to do something as a group of crawfish fans, which I've yet to have crawfish this season. I was in Rouse's the other day, and saw snow crab legs and something else, like some royal reds and snow crab. You know how they'll package it all together? Like snow crab legs and some royal reds and like corn and potatoes or whatever. It was like $9.99. And that, like the seven crawfish next to them were like $15 or so. It was crazy. But the headline here, crawfish prices decreased by $5. Still could be a slow season. That's because we, the people, it's like our own Boston Tea Party. We're pouring crawfish into the harbor, right? It's now it's down to $8.99 a pound cooked. But the more, hey, the more not buying, and I know we've had some strike breakers out there buying crawfish, but the more we don't buy them, the price will keep coming down. Then we could take advantage of it at the end of season. I just need y'all not to break the strike. All right. To the text line here. Let's see. Oh, from Summerdale. Tony, first up here. So what am I missing on that story? Aren't Figures and the other guy both black? Yeah. You're talking about Anthony Daniels and Shamari Figures. Yes, they are. As you know, because of what the federal government says, we have to make judgments on everybody based on the amount of melanin they have or don't have in their skin. Yeah. So, but it's, I guess the story here is that Joe Reed doesn't want either of them to win. So he's doing political. The fact that Joe Reed's trying to exert political influence as a kingmaker, that's nothing new. That's done. Republicans do that. Democrats do that. It's just some old man stuff, though, where he's saying that they're taking money from specifically this group, Protect Progress, a conservative group, which if you go do just a little bit of Googling, is a Democrat group. So packed, you know. Joe Reed just trying to, those two are not Joe Reed's. I would use that. I mean, if you want to raise money amongst Republicans, if you're Shamari Figures, you're Anthony Daniels, say, hey, we're the ones that that Joe Reed doesn't like. If you're trying to go across the aisle and raise money for some reason, you could maybe use that. So, Tony, that's the answer to that. It doesn't have, but I'll just answer that one personally, suggesting places for me to go do my show from. They have a lot of drama going on. We could, yeah, we'll take, if you got, I don't know if I need drama during the show, but we'll take the show on the road some more. I've been on the road a bunch here lately, and I enjoy getting out and seeing everybody. All right, Jason says, apparently Mr. Holbert is opposed to accountability and would prefer the style of Biden that allows failures like Mayorkas, Garland, etc. to go unchallenged. I don't get that, Jason. You're talking about because he doesn't think that Katie Britt should... Oh, I see what you're saying. Because of the people that he, you know, the trail of bodies behind Trump when he was the president. You know, there's some of that, Jason, that here's the thing. If you're going to be a fair-minded Trump supporter, he brought the wrong people in a lot of times. I mean, I remember kind of coming unglued. Here was this candidate and then President Trump who had campaigned on not putting us in every war on planet Earth. Remember that? And talking about getting our troops out? When he brings in the word, I would say, neocon extreme, Bolton and his mustache, when he brings him into the administration, what are you telling me? You telling me that all the stuff you told me when you're campaigning about not being a neocon and not getting us in every war, and you bring Bolton into your cabinet? Remember that, Jason? When he did that? So there absolutely, there should be some people fired. He shouldn't have hired them in the first place, though, right? Everybody's always, you're fired. I love Trump. He fires people. But he hires them, too, so maybe do a better job. But is there a chance that if she took the VP slot, could she get crossways with Trump, meaning Senator Britt? I don't know. Katie Britt has decades more in front of her in the Senate, I would argue. And maybe he's not as pressed to make a bigger move right now. So, Chris in Orange Beach says, I just made my nominations for the nappies, but I didn't see best smart Alec category for you. You win. You win that hands down. Don't ever change, brother. Well, if they would put a category in there for smart Alec, I think I would probably do all right on that. Pat says, back to the discussion of Amendment 1, says we pay them to do their jobs. So that's the legislature, pay them to do their jobs, not have a workaround. I agree, Pat, but this is just, that is what I'm saying. Pat, that's idealistic versus pragmatic in how Montgomery works. And it's sad when you have to pass an amendment to somewhat edit a whole process that is backwards, right? But the idea that they're going to change it back is not going to happen. So what do you do? You got to decide what are you going to do with the legislature. Because I can see both sides. You could argue that these local amendments will be pushed to the end and not get voted on if they can't pull the BIR stunt. But I got to tell you, idealistically, I think they should address the budgets first. That's like what grownups would do. Michael says, I'm on the strike, but all bets are off once $3 a pound hits. Listen, Michael, $3 a pound, even $4 a pound. Even $4 a pound, I'm in. I'm needing some crawfish in a big way, but I'm just trying to have solidarity with all of us, you know, as we stand together shoulder to shoulder to not pay, what was it, 13-something a pound when this started, down to $8.99? And so I want the local companies to make their money, want the crawfish farmers to make their money, but there's a certain level where I just have to say no. And this texter, Sam says, if you don't hire Joe Reed to endorse you, then you don't have Democrats' mass behind him like Maxine Waters in California. Well, I just wonder, like I said to Rob, is the influence of Joe Reed passing as well in Alabama Democrat politics? We'll see it. We'll watch it. All right, Paul Feinbaum on the way next. Tomorrow, of course, primary day. We'll be talking to y'all throughout the lunch voting window. Also, Yaffe joins me. John Sharp joins me. And coming up on Wednesday, more about where he goes next and why he left. My friend from way back, Eli Gold, joins me on Wednesday. So does Cameron Smith and Virginia Guy. All this week on Midday Mobile.